minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Nuggets lost a tough one to the Thunder the other night, 119-107. And while, you know, it's easy to look at it and say, okay, just it was an off night, and the Nuggets have been rolling, and they have been. I mean, before that, they'd won six straight. Had a great end leading up to the All-Star break, too. They're sitting at 36-26 and, you know, still holding on to that sixth spot at this point. They're 2.5 games ahead of Minnesota. So while it's easy to look at that and say, yeah, you know, I don't think it's panic time. It's one bad loss to the Thunder. Yeah, but it was a really bad loss. You know, you got the Thunder probably in the lower tier, one of the worst teams in the league, and they were shorthanded. I mean, I'm looking at that starting roster. I don't really know many of those guys. And I watch basketball. The Thunder is one of those, like, forgotten teams. Ever since Westbrook left, you know, obviously they were peeling back their stars for a while. But ever since Westbrook left, they've had a hard time remaining relevant. So when you lose a game like that, and I get it, there's 82 of these things. But that causes you to pause a little bit and say, okay, this team's a playoff team, but is that about as far as they're going to go? I mean, I've never had my expectations have been put on a shelf this year for the Nuggets, because without Jamal Murray, and then especially when Porter went down, I'm thinking, okay, can you just be a playoff team? I didn't expect this team to even win a first round. You know, I mean, I'm looking at it now, the way it's looking, there's a good chance that they'd be playing, who would they be playing? Would they be playing Memphis? Oof. Eeks. That's a scary draw right there. That's the way it looks anyway. And Memphis is, hey, they could make a move here and move up to two. They're only half a game behind Golden State. Still don't know if I'd like to play Golden State. They've been bad lately, though. With Draymond Green out, this team has really struggled. I think they're like 3-7 in their last 10 games. So the Nuggets, again, they're right around where I was. My expectations were, okay, this is a playoff team. Just don't be a play-in team. And then hopefully the Joker can just be even more legendary than he typically is. And then you have a couple of guys step up, and hopefully Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. are getting back into last year's form pre-injury. But after a loss like that, I think you do step back and say, man, that is such a devastating loss that could spiral your season. Now, they got the Rockets tonight. They're a terrible team. But look at their schedule, though. The way the schedule's lining up for Denver is kind of crazy. I mean, they play tonight, then they play on Sunday, tonight, Houston tonight. They play New Orleans on Sunday, Golden State on Monday, then they get a break, then they play Wednesday against Sacramento, and Thursday against Golden State. So they got two back-to-backs next week. So while some of the teams on there, other than Golden State, you're going, okay, there's winnable games, but the schedule is crazy. You damn sure need to avoid that play-in game. And you're in sixth place. You don't have a lot of room. So if you're going to drop games like that to the Thunder, that you have to, I mean, you have to win that game. And you're going to put yourself in a really tough spot. You know, and I do have my concerns about, you know, if Murray comes back. Chris Dempsey was on the show earlier this week, and he said, yeah, Porter's coming back. The agent's saying as much. And, you know, the news that the Nuggets are pulling both of those guys back from the G League stuff, I don't think we got the report. It wasn't a setback or anything. It was just the way the schedule worked out. But my concerns are, okay, Michael Porter Jr. last year, I mean, at the beginning of the season last year, he looked lost. Defensively, he was out of place. Offensively, he was out of place. And then as the season progressed, he got better. He got much better. He looked like he knew where he was on the defensive side. He's probably never going to be a great defensive player. But he started getting it on the offensive side. I mean, he was averaging like 19, 20 points a game. That was better than where Jamal Murray was at that stage in his career. Then we got to the playoffs. And they were able to, teams were able to really shut him down. And he wasn't, he couldn't overcome it. That was a scary thing. And I said, man, because against Portland, they took him out of the game. I mean, he didn't have any really good games against the Trailblazers. It was all Joker taking over in that game. I think he had boards and stuff, but it was nothing crazy. And then Phoenix, he disappeared, as it had, almost everybody did, except for the Joker. So I got my concerns. Like, you know, a lot of Nuggets fans are just like, oh, Porter's coming back. That's going to be the difference maker. That's going to be the thing that makes Denver go from a sixth seed maybe to a fourth seed to maybe they're getting past first round, maybe even going to the Western Conference Finals again. And all I say to that is not so fast, because he was shut down in the playoffs. And then to start this season, he was a non-factor for Denver. Now, Austin Rivers, and I think more of the team has come out since and said, to be honest, he was hurting. That back injury was already creeping up on him this year. And if that's the case, you tend to go, okay, well, what was the excuse against Portland in the playoffs? I like Michael Porter Jr. There is so much potential there. But this year was going to be a test-type year. Now, they went ahead and gave him his max contract. That's already a done deal. So whether you love it or not, Denver stuck with him. But I thought that this season was going to be a really big test-type year for MPJ. Like, okay, you're good. You averaged 19 points a game last season. You became a focal point for Portland's defense. How do you recover now? Knowing that teams are going to say, hey, take the three-pointer away, and what has this guy got? If you can play up on him, you can get through screens. That's what they did in the Portland series. And so this year was supposed to be the test. He only played in a handful of games. He played in 9 games. And he averaged 9 points in those games. Almost 7 rebounds in those games. You know, you look at his three-point percentage. It was 44% last year. 40, that's pretty crazy, right? 44%. It was 20% in those 9 games. I don't ever feel like he got a feel for the game. And again, if he's hurt, you take that. But I needed badly to see him take another step. And I'm not going to sit here and say right now that if he's back in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, sounds like he's going to be. It's still a test. He's got some questions to answer. This is not Klay Thompson. This isn't, put him in, eventually he's going to get it. I mean, he's taken a while to get back into form. But we know what he's done. He's proven it year after year after year. I believe that Michael Porter Jr. is going to be a star for Denver. I do. I'm not 100% confident that works out that way. But I look at him and say he's got the tools, he's got the intangibles, he's a hell of an athlete. He's a different kind of player than the Nuggets have had in a very long time. But he does some things poorly too, defensively again. Sometimes he is out of place, and I need to see him be able to take it. Can he become a scorer rather than a shooter? That's the question. But this idea that he's just going to pop in and suddenly the Nuggets are a favorite, suddenly the Nuggets are a contender. I think that was our poll question on Tuesday, was if Murray and Porter come back, are the Nuggets a title contender? And that, again, if you get Porter from last regular season and Jamal from the bubble year, which I don't think you're getting. I think that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I think Jamal Murray's a great player. I don't know that we're ever going to see that kind of run from him. Hope I'm wrong. But if you can get both of those guys that kind of the way they played last year before they got hurt, then I think that you could be in the conversation. You could win a first round and maybe pull off an upset in the second round, get to the Western Conference Finals. Are they a championship team? That only way that is, to me, is possible is if you get the 20 points a game from Porter and you get the Murray that I mean, you had 2 years ago. Because I don't think Murray followed up bubble year. He wasn't fantastic. 16 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. We're going to take a short break. What do you guys think on that side? Let me know. Shoot us a text. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 16 minutes after the hour. We're going to switch gears. CSU Rams playing Boise State tomorrow night. That place is going to be absolutely nuts. Kevin's going to break it down for us and what the matchups potentially look like in the Mountain West Conference, which is next week. Pumped for that. 16 minutes after the hour, take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-one minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, our Rams insider with the Colorado and Kevin Lytle. Kevin, my man, it has been a crazy season for CSU. One more regular season game to go, and then we get to start that Mountain West tournament. That is, I'm telling you, man, I know tomorrow's still a big game and don't want to overlook it, but I am so excited to see that tournament unfold.
I mean, this week couldn't have been a better teaser for the tournament, could be.
No doubt.
San Diego State beat Wyoming. Then Wyoming goes and loses to UNLV. Fresno State kind of out of nowhere goes and takes San Diego State to double overtime. Frankly, probably should have beat them at the end. And that doesn't even include, you know, Boise State winning the title. What a week. And this is, like I say, it's just the lead end of the tournament. I can't wait. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal. Great basketball. You know, we talked some on our show yesterday and talking to other people. You know, you can sit there and sort of nitpick, do you want your team to face this team or this team? But whoever makes the championship is going to have run through quite, a challenge to get there because the league is just so good.
No question about it. I mean, we're sitting here talking. I could see this. I'm looking down going all the way down. You go to UNLV, you go to Fresno State, Utah State. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be extremely shocked if suddenly Fresno State gets hot or Utah State gets hot or UNLV. That's the crazy thing about this conference is, yeah, the studs have been great all year, but almost to the bottom of this conference in the standings, you still have some great teams, some solid teams at least.
Yeah, I think you get all the way until the 10 and 11 seeds before you really have a team. You know, New Mexico can't go win it. You know, I don't think they can string together four straight days, but they're absolutely dangerous enough to go win two games and mess things up. So you really have nine teams that could either, you know, win it all, or at least cause a lot of chaos. And you know, I think seven or eight of those, you can pretty easily make an argument about how they, you know, will go win the tournament next week. So that's that just speaks to depth. Like I say, you know, CSU is, you know, most likely will get either Fresno State or Utah State. It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, either one's going to be really tough. So I don't think there's really any clear choice of, you know, who you would want to face in that quarterfinal.
What kind of pressure is on Colorado State, Kevin? I mean, I kind of felt after the Wyoming game that they might have punched the ticket, but then they add some insurance. They go to Utah State. They win that game. We had discussed it yesterday, but for our listeners' sake, are they in at this stage in your mind?
Yeah, CSU is in. I mean, they're a lock, and, you know, and that's not just me. Every bracketologist out there, you know, Bracket Matrix, which aggregates every projection out there, has CSU in every single bracket that exists in mankind. So that kind of tells you how solid they are. So it's all about seeding now. So it's a different type of pressure, I would say. Knowing you're in, even though, you know, like you said yesterday, David Arati's not about to play that game. The team's not about to play that game, but realistically they are in, so it's a little different pressure, but you still need to finish well, win as much as you can, improve your seed. So it's pressure in a different type of way. It's pressure to, I guess, reach the you know, the ceiling that the team and most people think they have, which is not only to make the tournament, but to potentially win there. So that's where you're at right now. It's different than last year when it was, you know, we got to keep winning as many games as we can just to have a chance to get in.
How high do you think this goes as far as the seed for CSU? How high can they get? And what would that process need to look like?
Yeah, so right now on Bracket Matrix, easier for me to say, they're averaging out about number 7 seed. If CSU were to win out, beat Boise State tomorrow, and then win the tournament, I think they're a 5 almost certainly. I think there's a fairly easy path to get to a 6. You know, probably win 3 total games between the regular season finale and the Mountain West tournament, so that would get you to the championship game. I think that definitely gets you a 6. Even just making the semifinal, I think they could get a 6 as well. So, I think 5-7 range is all very much in play. And then, if things were to go, wrong, so to speak, and they were to lose to Boise and lose the quarterfinal, frankly, I don't really think CSU will drop past a 9. A 10 is possible depending on what other teams do in their tournaments and such. But really, I think 9 is probably the worst they would do.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, Kevin, you're getting Rams fans doing it, so it's not just me, but you see Gonzaga lose to St. Mary's, and then we're going back in our brain, wait a second, Colorado State beat St. Mary's. So what does that tell you anything, or do you look at that and say, dude, come on, there was like 6 top-tier teams that were upset. This is college basketball. This is how it goes. Should we pump the brakes just a little bit on that kind of talk?
Yeah, I would say it tells you that college basketball is crazy, and I think it does tell you that we've seen how many number ones have lost this year. I honestly don't even know the number, but it's a ton. So I think it tells you that there are a lot of teams that are very good and on their day are supremely elite, but they don't do that day every day. So I think it means, whether CSU is part of it or not, I think we're going to see some funky seed numbers in the Elite Eight and in the maybe even the Final Four. That being said, I don't think you want to run into Gonzaga unless you're talking, an Elite Eight game or something like that.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's the crazy thing about this. But, I tell you, at the beginning of the season, you're seeing all these great wins for CSU, which is a huge reason why we're sitting comfortably today talking about CSU going dancing. I'll tell you, as I've watched the conference unfold, I wouldn't be shocked if a CSU... If a Boise State, for that matter, even San Diego State, I wouldn't be shocked if one of those teams goes very deep, even into the Sweet 60, maybe even beyond that.
Yeah, and maybe this is me being hopeful because the Mountain West does need to have some postseason success. But I feel like there's a Sweet 16 team in the Mountain West. Let's wait until we see the brackets before I can tell you which one that's going to be, but all of them, there's a reason why. San Diego State, can be quite limited offensively, but their defense is just absolutely elite. I was looking at one, I don't even remember where it was, one projection that had them as an 8-9 in their second round game would have been Gonzaga. And that's one where I'm thinking, again, I wouldn't favor San Diego State or anything, but if you're Gonzaga, that's probably not who you want to face because they're really long and athletic and defend really well. So they're interesting. Boise State, likewise, they defend really well and have some talented offensive guys. CSU is playing much better defensively, and they have just so many ways they can score, so they can really exploit matchups. I mean, St. Mary's is an elite defensive team, and CSU basically just whipped them. So, those three teams certainly have that ability, and even Wyoming with good matchups could do it as well. So I hope that there's a Sweet 16 team in the Mountain West. I think they have the quality to do it, but man, the league really does need one of these teams to show well in the tournament to kind of validate nationally, I guess, the year the Mountain West has had.
So Kevin, all right, you got Boise State in, you got Colorado State in. Is San Diego State in? Is Wyoming in at this point, or is there work to do for both teams?
Well, it's a good thing San Diego State, for the Aztecs, that they didn't lose to Fresno last night, because that will push them back onto the bubble. And now, the Nevada game tomorrow is dangerous, partially because they just played 2 overtimes. They're traveling today. They're going, now to Nevada. Nevada's not great, but they have some guys that can score, so they need to win that one. I think right now San Diego State is very solid. I think they're one of those that even if they went 0-2, I think they would make it, but they would really, really sweat it out. Wyoming, they have some work to do. I think they have to beat Fresno Saturday to be feeling somewhat comfortable. And you know, it would behoove them to win their quarterfinal game as well, which is going to be against UNLV, which obviously is not going to be an easy one. So Wyoming's the one I'm worried about. I think the other three are all going to be in. Wyoming's the one that's now in a little bit more precarious a spot.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, at the beginning of the week, Wyoming fans were very hopeful that maybe the game tomorrow between CSU and Boise State was going to have some impact on on the Cowboys. And now, I mean, the Cowboys have dropped two in a row this week. It's been a rough week for them when they really needed to be kind of at their best.
Yeah, they've kind of, maybe tailspun is too dramatic a word, but they've lost six of their last eight. So they are not playing well at the end of the season. I guess the good thing is, you know, UNLV has been playing so well that if Wyoming does go and beat UNLV in the quarterfinal, you know, metrically it wouldn't be like an incredible win, but it would be solid. I think it would tell the committee like, hey, that, you know, that one, you know, at the end of the regular season was more fluky. So they do have their opportunities, but man, they are not in a great way, and they just seem like their legs are spent. You know, they play so few players that they just look like an exhausted team right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It'll be interesting to see what happens between the Cowboys and the Bulldogs. Fresno State, they got that one earlier game at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Kevin Lytle.
I'm sure Wyoming is happy that Fresno had that double overtime game.
Yeah,
because what, you know, again, they have the same thing. They had to travel up to altitude now. And Fresno State is locked in as the sixth seed, so they don't really have anything to play for. So I'm not saying they're going to throw the game, but you're not going to see Orlando Robinson play 38 minutes in Laramie, you know, for a game that doesn't really matter. So that certainly helps Wyoming.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and moving to tomorrow night between CSU and Boise State. I asked David yesterday if, you know, knowing that Boise State had already won the regular season title, if that took some of the juice out of the game. And I think it's the opposite. He kind of said, I think it adds more because they're the champs, and we want to say we're the best team, and we already beat them once, so there's a little bit more juice there because we're kind of going at this as, you know, maybe they're not the underdogs or whatever, but David's kind of wanting to view it from that mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. I think CSU is not going to lack any motivation because, you know, like we've talked, you know, it matters for seeding both Mountain West and NCAA tournament. And then, yeah, I think you nailed it right there. CSU would love the opportunity to win that game and say, okay, you know, maybe Boise was the champs and credit to them. They had a great season, but we beat them twice. So, you know, maybe we're not quite co-champs, but we've got quite a feather in our cap. You know, and use that as a little bit of a swagger, a talking point for the committee as well. So yeah, I think CSU is not going to be lacking any motivation. I think they, not sure underdog's the right word, but I think they feel they're the best team and will want to prove that.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and the fans have shown their support all year. We had another super fan on the show from Red Cup CSU. I mean, I love interviewing these guys, Kevin. His story was interesting. He was talking about when Nico first got here, or got to Fort Collins, rather. He's like marketing. He's getting the coaching staff together. He's getting Nico Carvacho. He's getting Kendall Moore, Adam Thistlewood. They're going out and they're talking to the students about, hey, we need you guys. We need to build this up. I mean, I hope other coaches are listening because that's a genius move right there.
Yeah, it really is. And even taking it further back, I talked to Tim Miles right before CSU played San Jose State, and he was telling me about how when Tim – you know, first came to CSU, you know, back in the day, and the program was in terrible shape then. You know, Nico Medved was his first hire, and he said Nico was at every single event, you know, Rotary Club. He was talking to students. He was talking to boosters. He, you know, anything and everything. He said, you know, assistants don't show up to all that. He goes, but Nico did. Nico, you know, raised his hand for every single thing because he knew that's how you know, that grassroots, you know, literal foot, you know, feet on the ground work is how you build a fan base that, you know, is in a bad way. And that's what he did when he came back as a head coach, and it's paid off. I mean, I don't know, you know, there's no more proof that you possibly need than five straight sellouts to show that the work they've done has paid off. Obviously, you have to win, you know, just going out and shaking hands, but then, you know, going 5-25 wouldn't do the job. But combine those two and you get quite a thing going.
I really liked what you said yesterday during our College Hoops tip-off show. You had mentioned, okay, there's going to be teams at some point that are going to certainly reach out to Nico. But what you brought up, you're like, looking around at Moby Madness and all that, you are going to have the question with Nico on the reverse. He's going to say, obviously, you're coming to me because you're not very good, and you probably don't have that great of a fan base. Can you guarantee that we can build something up like this? Because that is magical. I mean, when coaches look at, you know, obviously there's money, there's success, but when you look at the environment that you want to coach in, Moby Arena right now, Moby Madness is sure providing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those, you know, Nico's done such a good job here that, yeah, anyone that calls, obviously, yeah, money does play a role. You know, let's not be dumb about that. But it's not a case where Nico's like, man, I got to jump out of here because no one cares. You know, we're winning, but no one cares. That's, you know, it's the opposite of that. So anyone that calls, he'll have questions as well of, you know, what's the support going to be? You know, how are we going to build this? You know, what steps to get it to where we are now? Because yeah, I mean, this thing is cooking. You know, let's say and assume that the core of this team comes back next year. You know, all of a sudden, is this team, you know, selling out, you know, most games? You know, hey, it's Arkansas Pine Bluff, some crappy team no one's ever heard of. Well, 8,000 fans will be there because that's what this program is. That's, you know, if you have that happening, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. It's a blast of an environment. Should be a crazy, crazy scene on Saturday as they're rounding out the regular season and sending this team off to the Mountain West Conference Tournament. It's a blast to cover. Kevin, my man, what are you working on that we can check out now between now and game time?
Yeah, plenty of stuff online. Have a story about the three seniors who are being honored tomorrow, Chandler Jacobs, Kendall Moore, Adam Thistlewood, kind of some you know, thoughts on all of them, somewhat about the other guys and how they feel. I'll have sort of a preview of the game and what it means, and a little bit more in depth there, and then obviously covering the game tomorrow night, and then just a bevy of stuff planned for the next week as we head into and through the Mountain West tournament.
I'm looking forward to it. Nobody does it better, my man. Kevin, I'll be following you, looking for your coverage next week. We'll reach out and we'll talk some Mountain West tournament time. I am so excited for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait. Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun, but that tournament, man, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Kevin, my friend, we'll catch up with you. Safe journeys next week, and we'll talk to you, I'm sure, while you're on site. So we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. This guy is in the trenches every single practice, every single game. Kevin's out there providing the best Rams coverage, and we're happy to get him on the program. 38 minutes after the hour. Jades, let's jump out real fast and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Green Acres, I just saw your text, man. My bad. I've had several conversations with Kevin about this. Green Acres wants to know, is Thistlewood and Kendall, are they coming back? Kendall Moore. Also, can we get a COVID year update on the roster? Well, obviously, Chandler Jacobs is gone. From my conversations with Kevin and just kind of his feeling is, maybe you're not getting Kendall Moore back, maybe not Adam Thistlewood, but for the most part, you run it back. You're going to obviously, I think David, this is not based on any conversations I've had with David. I've not even asked him this question, but I think David's coming back. His draft stock is improving, though. But do you risk it and then come back one more year and then try to improve it even more? So there's no doubt. You know, he might do what a lot of players do, is kind of test it out and declare for the draft, but In this new era, you can do that and still come back. Just you can't get an agent. I imagine, I'm just kind of looking around. Like, the only reason I can see some of these guys wanting to not come back is, you know, if they think they can get more playing time somewhere else. You know, does a James Moores think he can go somewhere else and be a starter? Jalen Lake, according to David Roddy himself, he said, hey, this guy's the future. He's the future of the Rams. So they got high hopes for him. Is Rivera a guy that looks at it and says, I want more minutes than, you know, 15 minutes a game? So I don't know. From what my gut tells me, I don't know about Kendall Moore and Thistlewood. Not so sure there. But I'll be curious, you know, ultimately to see how Roddy does in this tournament. Here's the thing. You know, it's good and bad, because I think if you have a CSU basketball player that goes on and plays at a high level, you're great, but you want to see him play one more year. I mean, you want to run this back. Here's how I don't see Roddy coming back. If, let's say, the Rams go win the tournament, the conference tournament, or even if they don't, they get it, they're in the March Madness tournament, they're in the NCAA tournament, and they rock, and they win like, let's just say they win three, maybe they make it far, maybe they do make it into the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and Roddy's the reason. He's doing the 26-point kind of deal, he's got several assists and big rebounds. Well, his stock's going to go way up because already national media knows this guy. But if he's doing it on that stage, at that level, on you know, in the biggest tournament, I think his stock will go up. And so it's weird. You're rooting for that to happen. But the better the Rams do in this thing, the better chances of Roddy going pro. Green Acres breaking. Brady officially announces Roddy to return next year. I don't know that it's breaking. That's what my gut tells me. And again, no conversations with David about this. I have not talked to him about this. I really kind of just wanted to let the season progress for him. I think he's an NBA talent. A lot of people disagree with me on that. I'm not sure why. I think he's a rare NBA talent. Here's what I don't get. All these, and I have a lot of respected reporters that I've had on to talk about this. They say, well, I disagree with you, Brady. I think he's a pro football player. When's the last time he played football? Oh, that's right. But it was quarterback. They all say tight end. The last time I checked, it's really hard to become a professional athlete. And you got to be playing it. And I know we've seen Antonio Gates and Julius Thomas. We've seen tight ends that played basketball. That has happened. But the way we talk about it is like, poof, it's easy. Just because you're a big dude and you're athletic, you're going to go to the NFL. I asked David about that yesterday, if he gets like annoyed. He's like, I'm a basketball player. That's who I am. I'm a basketball player. It's not really annoying, but it's weird to me that people keep bringing up football. I'm a basketball player. Now, he didn't say, he said, yeah, worst case scenario, and I wasn't able to take basketball as far as I want, And there was some kind of realistic chance. I'm not going to say no to that. But I think he's got the right stuff. I think he's an NBA talent. 48 minutes after the hour, we got to take a quick break. I'll get to what's on TV tonight. Closing thoughts from a great week of sports. We'll get to all that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Fifty-three minutes after the hour, almost done here on another great week, man. It's been a lot of fun. Exciting times next week. We get to see what happens with these conference tournaments and everything. It's a blast. It's a blast, man. You got a lot of great Broncos talk going on because we're all wanting to know what they're going to do in free agency in the draft. The Nuggets need to bounce back tonight. The Avs, they lost last night, but I don't think anybody's pressing the panic button like they might be after the Nuggets' Thunder loss. Need to beat Houston tonight. Do not pair up two bad team losses there coming up. So you got that rolling. What's on TV tonight? Well, that's it. 7 o'clock, you have Houston taking on the Denver Nuggets. Tomorrow's jam-packed day. Big game for Wyoming. I mean, if you lose that, we might not get in, folks. Wyoming playing host to Fresno State Saturday at 2 o'clock. The UNC Bears have their final regular season game. They're going up against Montana State, the regular season champs for the Big Sky Conference. You can hear that game right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Saturday, you have Boise State taking on CSU, a 6:30 game. Boise State, also the regular season champs. So, you know, you're looking at that. All right, there's still some juice to that game, though. You know Colorado State wants to win that thing. They want to prove that they're the best team in the conference, and there's no better way to do that than knock them off twice because they beat them once already. Tonight on KFKA, got a lot of high school basketball action. Platte Valley at Eagle Ridge Academy starting at 5 o'clock. And then Highland at Green Valley Ranch, 7 o'clock. So we're in playoff mode. Absolutely love it. No reason to turn away. We got Betting Across America coming up next, followed by the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Keep it here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Monday. Good night, Northern Colorado.